take your Bibles and turn to John, the 8th chapter. John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the 4th of the 4 Gospels. And I want to begin reading in verse 31, and I'll read to verse 38. 31 through 38. I'll encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look into this text in our message. But hear the Word of God. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Let's pray. Oh, great God, we are on holy ground. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We ask, Lord, that you give us ears to hear. We ask that you give us hearts to believe. We pray that we'll receive the word of God and that we'll find the freedom that your son promises to those who continue in it. May we show ourselves to be truly disciples of the Lord Jesus. We ask this in the name of our great master, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take your seats. Many, many years ago, I was once numbered among a curious group of people. This group of people existed from the late 1960s into the early 1970s. This group was known as the hippies. The hippies were known for sex, drugs, rock and roll, long hair, tie-dye shorts, bell-bottom blue jeans, incense, and blacklight posters, among other things. While for many it was a time of dropping out and turning on, there were also among these hippies individuals who sensed a real lostness, an emptiness in their life. They were looking for some sort of reality beyond the temporal, as something that could satisfy the soul. And during these years, there were many spiritual movements that were spawned. There were the Hare Krishnas. There was transcendental meditation, Silva mind control. There were many of these yogis and gurus who left India and came to the United States because many of these young people found some sort of awareness or satisfaction by involving themselves in these movements. So from 1970 to 1974, I found myself hitchhiking around the United States, up to Alaska, across the Trans-Canada Highway, into Europe, throughout the Middle East. And I would say that I was motivated by a desire for freedom. Now, I wasn't raised in what you would call a Bible-believing home. But I did know that there was a verse from the Bible that said something about the truth was going to make me free. I'd never seen this verse in the Bible. I was absolutely ignorant of the contents of the Bible. I knew some stories from the Bible. And this idea of truth and freedom enamored me. I fancied myself to be a seeker after truth, a truth seeker. I saw this verse on billboards as I traveled. I saw this verse on placards in front of church buildings, rescue mission signs, but it's this very verse that I want to draw your attention to this morning. You see it here in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will what? You will know the truth. And what will the truth do if you abide in the word of Christ?" Jesus promised that if you abide in his word, the truth would set you free. It would liberate you. How much have you considered or contemplated the concept of truth? How dedicated are you to knowing truth? That's my question to you this morning. As we look at our text, we see that the Lord Jesus believes and is teaching things that he wants us to know. And I think there are three key ideas in what he's telling us. First of all, truth exists. Truth exists and it is absolute. We'll talk about that some. Secondly, there's a sure road to freedom. And what is that sure road? It is that absolute truth that exists. And thirdly, if we take the challenge that the Lord Jesus presents to us here in verse 31 and 32, well, we're going to experience through the Word of God a freedom that will increase exponentially as we continue in the Word of God. So let's talk about truth. Let's talk about truth. Let's talk about truth generally, and let's talk about truth specifically. I am sure that we'll agree that there are many things that are true. There are facts in life. There are truths. For example, we're in a building right now. That's obvious, right? We're not on an airplane. We're not in a train. We're not in an automobile. We're on an island. It's called Big Coppin. It's not the island of Oahu. It's not one of the Fiji islands. I'm an elderly man. I'm not a child. You have two eyes, I have two eyes. You don't have three, you don't have four. Each one of us has two eyes. These are truths. They're specific, they're straightforward, and they apply to all of us. There are truths that are unique to you. You were born on a particular day, in a particular year. You have a specific, unique eye color. You have a specific height. You reside at a specific residence. These are truths that apply to you uniquely. And these truths will be recorded on a birth certificate or a driver's license or a passport or some other documents that you possess. Do you think this is the type of truth Jesus is getting at when he said, "You will know the truth and the truth will set you free"? I want you to notice as you look at the text that the word truth is going to appear many times in the portion of scripture that I read to you a moment ago. If you look in verse 32, the Greek word is aletheia, translated in English as truth. In verse 32, we find truth mentioned two times. If you look at verse 40, you'll see the word truth used one time. In verse 44, two times, the word is found. And in verse 45, it's used one time. Verse 46, one time. That totals up to be seven times in our text. And in each instance, except one, Jesus is using the definite article before the word truth. Not talking about a truth. He's talking about the truth. The truth. Something very specific. You will, verse 32, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, question we have before us is, what's he mean? What's the Lord Jesus getting at? Well, I think we would agree that he's not just talking about these general truths about life, but he's getting to something that's very specific. Again, there are these general truths. The sky is blue. Honey is sweet. Water is wet. Fish swim in water. Those are truths that are applying around the world. Dogs and cats are both animals, but they're different kinds of animals. Some of you have dark skin, some of you have light skin. If you were born in Key West, you weren't born in New York. These are basic points. But you say, well, what are you getting at? Well, my point is that when Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, he's referring to something that's very specific, something that's very narrow, something that doesn't allow for competing ideas of truth. Now, at this point, you might think that I'm talking about things that are so obvious, but really it's at this point that people become irrational. People look at the world of spirituality as though it's some sort of a grand smorgasbord. You know what a smorgasbord is, right? You go in and there's a whole line filled with food. And you take your plate and you walk through and you get some mashed potatoes, but you don't take the gravy. You get a piece of meat, but you don't take the fish. You sort of go through and build your own plate as you go. Well, there are people that think that the world of morality, the world of religion, or spirituality is a grand smorgasbord. They walk through the line and say, well, I like that kind of philosophy right there. And I like that religion. I don't like all of the things that that religion teaches, but I'm going to take some of that and then some of this idea over here or over there. And they think that what they comply or compile is just peachy. They might say, I like some Buddhism. I like some of that New Age stuff. And some of that stuff that Jesus said, that suits me pretty good. And so we build our own system of religiosity. They say, I love Jesus, but I also admire Buddha. And I derive much from my reading and studying of my astrological charts. People say, when it comes to things like this, whatever works for you is good. Or truth is whatever you perceive it to be. Or they say truth is different to different people. And you have no right to tell anybody that he or she is wrong. Well, what are we to think about that? Those philosophies, those ideas run smack in to what the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you know a 15-year-old boy. And this boy has been persuaded by his peers, his friends, that crack cocaine is the ultimate experience. And so this kid, cash in hand, is now on his way to go to the crack dealer because he's convinced, he's been told, that you got to try crack cocaine. Now, you're aware of this, so what do? You say, well, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Crack may work for this kid. Maybe it won't, but I don't really have any obligation to him. So here he is on his way to the drug dealer. If you see the boy and you know where he is heading, what are you going to do? Do you sense that you have some moral obligation to warn this young lad? Do you think that the truth about crack cocaine is different to different people? Everyone is entitled to his or her own belief. I'm sure if you're a concerned human being, you're going to intervene. You're going to say, hey, wait a minute. You've been told a lie. And I'm here to show you that this is the road to destruction. I care about you, and so I want to tell you the truth about drugs, and in particular here, about crack cocaine. It's going to ruin your life. It's going to destroy your life. Well, Jesus tells us, says, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. So what we have to ask ourselves is, what's it going to set us free from? What is this truth, and what is it going to set us free from? I ask you a question. How many gods exist? You might say, well, there's one God. But you know, there's a certain branch of Hinduism that says there are 330 million different gods that exist. So what's the right answer? Is the Hindu, who's very sincere in his belief, right? 330 million gods? Or is the truth there was one true and living God? Well, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses in the Old Testament, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So, is the Hindu right? Is the Bible right? Can they both be right? Well, I think you would say they both can't be right because their answers are contradictory. So, of the two, who's right? Are we all by nature children of God? Most people in the religious world would say everybody in the world's a child of God. Well, there's no question that we're all a creation of the true and living God. But in a redemptive sense, are all people children of God? Well, it depends what your source of authority is. If your source of authority is yourself or some other human being or some other religion, you might come up with a particular answer. But if you're going to go to the Bible, you know what you're going to find? John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "To all who received him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "who believed in his name, God gives the right to become children of God." You're not naturally a child of God until you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as your Lord and Savior. That's what the Bible says. Galatians 3:26, "For in Christ Jesus, by faith in him, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God." Apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're not a child of God. So who's right? You? The religious fellow who told you everybody's a child of God, or the Bible? Comes back to a question of authority, doesn't it? Are we all basically good? Or are we all basically, by nature, dead in our trespasses and sins? Well, the Bible has an answer for that. It's going to be different from a lot of other people's answers. Can we be saved by our good works? Is salvation something that we attain by trying to be a really good person? Or are we dead in our trespasses and sins, and we can only be saved by Jesus Christ and what he did done for sinners at the cross? So this is what Jesus is getting at when he says the truth will set you free. He is saying that there is truth, and it's absolute. It doesn't change from day to day, person to person. Truth is absolute. Truth never will change to suit you. You have to conform yourself to the truth. The truth is monolithic. It's not going to change like the weather. The truth stands, and the call by Jesus is for you to conform to the truth of Almighty God. And as you see here, Jesus is claiming to be the ultimate authority concerning truth. In fact, he said in John 14:6, just a few chapters down the line, in John chapter 8 here, John 14:6, what did he say? "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me." And when Jesus says that in John 14:6, he's being very specific. He has a definite article. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And you can't get to the Father except coming through me. It's dogmatic. It's absolute. And you have to make a decision. I'm going to believe what Jesus said, or I'm going to factor Jesus in as a nice guy, but I don't believe he's the way, the truth, the life, and the only way to the Father. Jesus said in John 17:17, he's praying to his heavenly Father. And he says, "Oh, Father, sanctify them, those who have taken my word seriously, sanctify them in the truth. For your word, Heavenly Father, is truth." The Bible's a book about truth. It's not a book about religion. It's a book about telling us how we can be right with God and know God's truth so that we are set free from lies. Jesus is stating here, if you want to know the truth about God, if you want to know the truth about men generally, if you want to know the truth about yourself specifically, if you want to know the truth about life and death, if you want to know the truth about forgiveness of sins and salvation, you must listen to him and what he says in his word, the Bible. Jesus is the absolute and ultimate authority on truth and reality. Now, you're either going to receive that And that's what Jesus said. Or you're going to say, well, you know, it's... See what I mean? At this point, rational people become irrational. They're back to the smorgasbord. I don't really want this absolute truth. It really doesn't fit in with my plan and my ideas. So I'll take a little of this, a little of that, and sort of make my plate combine with my own philosophies and ideas. I'll create my own ideas. That's not truth. If you or anyone or any religious leader disregards or contradicts the plain teachings of Holy Scripture, you know what? They're lying to you. They're lying to you. They're rejecting the Word of God. They're teaching error. And if you're alert and you're wise, you know what you're going to do? You're going to avoid these people. You're going to say they're self-deceived, they're deluded, and they're trying to get me deceived as well. The Lord Jesus is very narrow in what he is saying. But that's the nature of truth. Truth is always very narrow. It's always very precise. It's always very exact and very specific. On matters of faith and conduct, it can't be Jesus plus my ideas on truth. It cannot be the Bible plus other books. It cannot be anything that disagrees or contradicts the plain, clear-cut teachings of Scripture. Because if you believe a lie, you're believing something that is ultimately destructive. So look at 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples," verse 32, "and the truth will set you free." Truth exists. Jesus said so. And Jesus tells us truth is absolute, not relative, doesn't change. It is absolute. Well, our text goes on and says that we must know the truth. Jesus says we shouldn't simply know about the truth, but he says we must know experientially of the truth of God. We need to have a personal apprehension of the truth that sets us free. But you might say, what's it going to set us free from? I acknowledge that Jesus is saying there is truth and it's absolute. But what is this going to set us free from? I'll give you two ideas. It's going to set us free, number one, from ignorance. And secondly, it's going to set us free from sin, bondage to sin. This is the amazing thing, my friends. The true God in mercy has not left us in darkness. He sent his Son into the world as the light of the world. Just as light dispels darkness, so God's word dispels the darkness of ignorance. Take a look here at verse 12, John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus makes an incredibly phenomenal statement in verse 12 of John chapter 8. Jesus said, "I am the," again, definite article, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's a statement, and that's a promise. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. Are you following the Lord Jesus? Do you recognize he's the light of the world? That if you're not following the Lord Jesus, you're walking in darkness. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesians who were pagans at one time. They followed the religions of the world, whatever seemed to be interesting to them. That's where they placed the eggs in that basket. But Paul is reminding them of what they were and what they are no longer. In Ephesians 4:17, Paul says, "Now I say and testify in the Lord that you believers must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the vanity or the futility of their minds." These people who are outside of Christ, Paul says, are darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardness of heart. Most of the world lives in the vanity of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of their ignorance. That's why we need the truth, because we're all naturally ignorant of the truth of Almighty God. Psalm 119, verse 30, the psalmist says, Lord God, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple, to the naive, to the inexperienced. The unfolding of the word of God is what brings light into our lives. So truth is important because it dispels the darkness of ignorance from our minds on matters of morality and on matters of spirituality. The truth not only sets us free from the darkness of ignorance, but it sets us free from sin. Apart from the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, we don't realize what sin is or what a great problem it is. I want you to look at the context here. If you look here in John chapter 8, in verse 30, as Jesus is speaking, it says, many believed in him. And then in verse 31, he says to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, you'll know the truth will set you free. And look at what they said in verse 33. They answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say to us, we shall be free? These Jews, they said, well, you know, we're the offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. What do you think of their answer? Are they telling the truth or are they deluded? Part of their answer is correct. They are the offspring of Abraham. They are the physical seed of Abraham. They can trace their physical lineage back to Father Abraham in the Old Testament. But what about the second part of their statement? We've never been slaves to anybody. Well, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you get to the book of Exodus, and where are the people? They're slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. And the book of Exodus is about God raising up Moses to deliver these people out of bondage of slavery in Egypt. Get to the book of Judges, right after the book of Joshua, right? You read the book of Judges, and were the Jews slaves? You read through the book of Judges, and it records seven distinct times the Israelites were under foreign domination. And when they cried out, God would come, raise up a judge, and deliver them. And then they'd fall back into their idolatrous ways, and they would be dominated and enslaved by another nation. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, sacked the city, took many of the people captive to Babylon, where they were in captivity for 70 years. Now, what about in the day that Jesus Christ is speaking here? Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 22, some of the religious leaders came to Jesus, and they said, listen, Rabbi, should we pay taxes? And he said, yeah, a coin. And they said, well, yeah, we got a coin. Took out a coin, gave it to Jesus. Whose image was on that coin? It was Caesar's. Why is Caesar's image on a coin in Israel at that time? Because they were under occupation. The Romans now were the governing force in Israel at that time. And Jesus says, whose face is on it? He says, Caesar's. Well, you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. You give to God what belongs to God. So what's the point here? Sin had now blinded the minds of these people to such a degree that they were self-deluded. They had become self-deceived. We've never been slaves to anyone. Hey, listen, folks. Right now, you're slaves under an occupying power called Rome. Not only do we ignore the truth, but we actually rebel against the truth. When I was a young child, my parents were discussing among themselves. And they were talking about some couple that were living together and they weren't married. And my parents spoke with great disdain about this couple, unmarried couple living together. Years later, before my parents died, I heard them talking about what had now become a change in our culture. Couples cohabitating. And my parents said, you know, we don't condone this activity, but we really can't condemn it either. Well, they had changed. Spoke with disdain at one time, condemned it years later. Well, you know, we don't condone it, but we can't condemn it. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. God didn't change. Society changes, you understand? Truth among people changes. We don't like that anymore, or we're more sophisticated, we're more advanced now. But the Word of God doesn't change. The truth is still the truth, whether people believe it or not. Whether people are deluded or self-deceived, the truth still stands. Truth's not going to change for you. We have to conform ourselves to truth. Where do we find it? The Word of God. There was a time when homosexuals kept their relationship secret. Well, not anymore. Now we simply say, well, it's another lifestyle. Who cares? We had a whole month, the month of June. What was it? It was Gay Pride Month. Well, should we be proud if we're homosexuals about our activity? Society changes. Does God change? Leviticus 18:22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Well, go along to get along. It's not my place to stone people. But I have to say the Word of God is still true. Isaiah 5, chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When you see that word woe in the Old Testament, that's a pronouncement of a curse. Verse 21 of Isaiah 5, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. What's the point? The point is this, sin is a mocker. Sin is a cruel taskmaster. It deceives us into thinking that that which is wicked is perfectly okay. The world and its sin makes promises, but it can never deliver. It can never deliver the goods. Jesus says in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who what? Practices sin is a slave to sin. You can be a physical slave, and you can be a spiritual slave. I ask you, my dear friends, are you truth seekers? Or are you a seeker after pleasure? Are you willing to be corrected by the Word of God? Or do you sit in judgment on the Word of God? Do you humble yourself before its plain, clear statements? Or do you ignore the Word of God? Verse 34, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So what's the antidote to our own natural ignorance? What is the antidote to our bondage to sin? If you want to be free from ignorance and the damning effects of sin, well, it's only the absolute truth of God that can set you free. Now, look here again at verse 31 and 32. We have a conditional statement. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if, that's conditional, if you abide, the word meno, it means to abide, to continue, to persevere in, to cling to what? Christ's word. If you abide in my word, you show yourselves to be truly my followers, truly my disciples. And then implied here is the fulfillment of the condition. You'll receive this promise, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't abide in the Word, then you're not going to know the truth, and you can't be set free. True disciples are those who recognize the uniqueness of the person of Jesus Christ and the uniqueness of the Bible as the Word of God. True disciples are those who trust Jesus Christ and Him exclusively, who trust in the Jesus of the Bible and His Word exclusively. Now it says that these people in verse 30 and 31 that they profess to be believers. But as you read on in the chapter, they show themselves to be false disciples. Because as Jesus elaborated on the truth, they were scandalized and they opposed him. I want you to follow from verse 45 to 47. Jesus said to these people who said, "We've never been enslaved to anyone." In verse 45, "Because I tell you the truth, but because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you can convict me of sin?" Jesus is standing before these people. "Have I ever sinned in your presence? Can you give me a day and a time and a moment when I've sinned?" Couldn't do it. If I stood before a crowd and said that, there'd be plenty of people saying, "I remember when you said this and when you did that." But Jesus makes the statement, who of you? He's saying, "I'm sinless. And you can't show me one instance when I sinned against Almighty God. If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me?" 47. "Whoever is of God hears" what? "The words of God. The reason that you don't hear these words is because you're not of God." Very pointed, Jesus is. He doesn't mince words. The truth is what it is, folks. Are you going to try to water it down or change it? Are you going to say, "The truth, I can't be free. I'm going to be a slave to my ignorance. I'm going to be a slave to my sin the whole rest of my life and get the consequences of it unless I repent and listen to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take those words seriously to my heart. I'm asking you, do you have ears to hear the truth? Are you crying out, 'Lord, give me your understanding'? Or is your heart cold and are your ears deaf?" As we conclude here, I want to ask you, are you convinced that truth is absolute? Are you still trying to make up your own religious ideas? Are you convinced that truth is absolute? Are you convinced that you're naturally ignorant and dead in your trespasses and sins, and Jesus Christ and Him alone is the truth that you need to set you free from ignorance and sin? Are you convinced that you need to know the Bible, the Word of God, more than you need water and sunshine and air? You know, I have to ask you, what do you do with the Bible? You come here and it's preached from the pulpit. What do you do when you leave here? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, you have to be in the word of God daily. That's an evidence that you're a genuine, true disciple of Jesus Christ. But if the Bible's just a book, well, it's got some nice stuff in it, and it's not food to you. Jesus said, we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. What do you do with the Bible? That's a demonstration to you personally whether you're a genuine, true follower or disciple of Jesus Christ or just a hanger on. I want you to look at verse 36. "So if the Son sets you free, what will you be?" See verse 36? "If the Son of God sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's a statement of fact. But it's also a promise. It's also a promise. If the Son of God sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You'll be free of ignorance. The more you continue in the Word, the entrance of God's Word dispels darkness from our minds as the light of truth comes in and we find freedom from bondage to sin through the Savior who died for sinners and rose again. How much do you contemplate the concept of truth? Nothing more important in all the world than the truth of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we recognize that your Son, the Lord Jesus, doesn't mince words. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If we don't take his word seriously, then we're simply ignoring the truth. If we believe in these other religious ideas and philosophies that contradict the plain, clear teaching of Scripture, then we're believing a lie, we're self-deceived, we're self-deluded. Father, help us to recognize that your Son is who he says he is. He is who the Bible says he is. He's the way, the truth, the life, and the only mediator. No one can come to you, Heavenly Father, except they believe and rest and depend upon your Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone as the Lord and Savior from sin, the one who died for sinners at the cross, the one who rose victoriously, physically and bodily and literally from the dead on the third day, the Jesus who ascended to the right hand of you, the Father who is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Jesus who's going to come back one day and judge the living and the dead. That Jesus is the one that we need to believe in. And any other religious philosophy, any other concepts of so-called truth that compete with the Lord Jesus and the Bible, Holy Scriptures, they're lies. They're lies. Father, we don't want to be in bondage to sin, ignorance, and self-deception. So, Father, please do a work in our hearts that we are people who hunger for the truth of Almighty God. We ask this in the name of truth incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.